What an awesome song. We sing hallelujah. You know, that song is powerful. And this morning, we're going to be talking about how we can make our lives powerful. Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit at that moment comes into your life. And you have as much power as Jesus does because Jesus is living within you. And so this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how to make your life more fruitful for God's kingdom, not for yourself, but how to be more fruitful in God's service. I don't know about you all, but I've been blessed by seeing all the pictures that have came over from the Philippines this week on Facebook. I see individuals that are allowing God to move within them and allowing God to use them in the ways and the methods that He needs to use them to go out and to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And not only do you see people that are willing to go out and to proclaim the Word of God, but you also see such a massive response from people that are so thirsty. You see people that are so thirsty to hear about Jesus Christ and to know what Jesus is able to do. And they don't only just want to sit there and listen to the words, but they want to respond. They want to respond. And they want to know how in their lives they can be fruitful and how they in their lives can go out and to do the work for the kingdom. You know, it's a chain. It's a chain in the fact that that's what should be taking place. We as God's children, we should be going out and proclaiming the Word of God and helping God's kingdom grow, and in turn, helping those people that we've witnessed to grow spiritually. And then it should be a cycle in and of itself. They should do the same thing. But I was talking with somebody at the beginning of, when I got here this morning. You know, we live in a society where people had just become complacent in God's service. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has a plan for you. God has a role for you. He has something that He wants you to do for the benefit of His kingdom, for the growth of His kingdom. And that plan is not to come into the church and to sit on a pew and do nothing. So this morning, that's where I'm taking my scripture from. I'm taking it from some words that Jesus spoke Himself in John chapter 15. It says in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in Me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in Me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in Me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. Listen to those words. You yourself can do absolutely nothing. But through God, anything is possible. Anyone who does not remain in Me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Those three words, that's what God calls us to do, is to love each other. You know, if you look back and you read throughout the Old Testament, you will see throughout the Old Testament the analogy of grapes. And in this analogy, it talks about how grapes symbolized how fruitful the children of Israel were doing God's work on earth. And I like this analogy that Jesus provided here in John chapter 15. Because as we're going to read, as we're going to get into this here in just the next few minutes, you know, how in the world can we as God's children produce fruit if we're not constantly getting fed by the vine, which is Jesus Christ? Amen. So, this morning, if I had a title for my message, it would be how to be a fruitful branch for God's kingdom, because that's what we are. In this analogy, Jesus was referring to the branches as the believers, as the born again children. And so this morning, that's what I want us to look at. I want us to look at how we can become more fruitful in our service. What do we need to do to become more fruitful? But before I start with my points, I wanted to read some scripture in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 verses 1 through 7, it shares a little bit of this analogy about grapes that I was talking about. It says in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 1, "Now I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Now, you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done? When I expected sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? Now let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will tear down its hedges and let it be destroyed. I will break down its walls and let the animals trample it. I will make it a wild place where the vines are not pruned and the ground does not hoed, a place overgrown with briars and thorns. I will command the clouds to drop no rain on it. The nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of heaven's armies. The people of Judah are his pleasant garden. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard cries of violence. You see the analogy between the children of Israel and us? God didn't create us to be bitter. He didn't create us to sit still. He created us in God's image, which was love. And He expects us. He expects us to go out there and to be fulfilling the work of His kingdom. So the first point that I want to make in how to be a fruitful branch for God's kingdom, number one, we must rely on Jesus Christ, which is the vine, and produce much fruit for God's kingdom. If you don't have the vine, which is Jesus Christ, you do not have the ability to serve God. You've got to have the nutrients from that vine. And how do you get those nutrients? Those nutrients can be found through reading God's Word. It can be found in small groups, Bible studies. It can be found in church. There's all different ways it can be found in prayer. It can be found in so many ways. But you have to stay attuned to God's Word. You have to stay in a close relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't expect to drift away and to be fruitful in your life and in your service to God. It calls you to constantly draw nigh to Him. Amen. If you don't rely on that source, if you don't rely on that vine, what happens is the branch will die. And eventually, if you have so many branches that aren't producing fruit and that are slowly withering away and dying, what eventually happens is it takes down the entire tree. It takes down the entire vine. I think in the church today, we have a lot of dead branches. And we have a lot of branches that need to be pruned. Not by you yourself, but we have a lot of branches in the church today that need to be pruned by Jesus Christ Himself. You need to allow Christ to come into your life and to prune you and to develop you and to mold you and to make you and to purify you in the person that you need to fulfill God's work in His kingdom. And that all begins with Jesus Christ. Let's stop allowing the world to come in and prune us, but let's get to the nutrients. Let's get to the rich part, which is the vine. You know, what happens? What happens in your life? What happens to a tree when you don't water it in the heat of summer? Well, the vine, the roots of the tree, if they don't have water, they can't send the water to the branches. And so the tree dies. And do you know that's the same thing that happens in so many lives of so many Christians today. They're so excited when they initially accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then they become so active. And then all of a sudden, something happens in their lives that they don't understand and that they cannot comprehend. And what eventually happens is they throw God aside and they cast Him out and they blame Him for what choice they made in their lives. It's time that we stop doing that. It's time that we understand that most of what happens to us, most of the storms that we face in our lives are the results and of the choices and the decisions that we make. But it's important to realize that even when we make those choices, even when we make those decisions in our lives, even when we so royally mess things up, the vine is still there, and He still wants to direct you. He still wants to lead you, and He still wants to guide you. You simply have to hold out your hand and grab a hold of it. You know, I faced a storm in my life this week. You know, about a month ago, I found out I had a medical condition. It's going to require me to have surgery tomorrow morning. So be lifting me up in prayer tomorrow morning at 9:45. It's a storm in my life. I'm scared. I have a low tolerance for pain. Very low tolerance for pain, and I'm gonna have some serious pain in my life. But as I prayed about this the last month, all that I keep hearing in my life, I was talking with Brother David last night, and I said, I'm just trying not to think about it because I don't want to think about it and say things and throw things out there that Satan can attack me with. And you know, for the last month or so, all that I keep hearing is, look at what I've done in your life in the past. I held your hand through those surgeries. I'm going to hold your hand through tomorrow's surgery. And that gives me a peace. It gives me a peace because you see what I'm doing? I'm trying to draw strength from the vine. I'm reaching out. And I need the nutrients from that vine. Because I know I'm not capable of getting through this my own way. I know what that ultimately leads to is destruction. But ultimately, when you go through a storm in your life, there comes such a period of calm afterwards. You realize, man, you really did work in my life, God. Why? You know, you did some amazing things in my life. Some of you might know it, but I was really stupid about a week ago. I decided that I was going to drive into a hurricane. So we drove down to the beach, and as we got down there, the hurricane made landfall about 6 hours after we got down there. And I was sitting there on the balcony when we first got down there. I was watching these gigantic waves come in from the Gulf of Mexico. And they were 18 foot waves, and that's very large for the Gulf of Mexico. But I was sitting there watching, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, look how angry that ocean is. Look at the power. Look at the storm that we're getting ready to have. You know, as soon as that storm moved out, there wasn't a wave on the Gulf. It looked like crystal glass. Absolutely nothing. Just the sun came out. And I thought about that for a few days. When you turn your storms over to God, that's exactly what happens in our life. So this morning, what I'm asking you is, are you allowing God to prune you where He needs to prune you to make you more fruitful? Are you disregarding the vine and not getting the nutrients that you need? And are you becoming more dead every day? If you're becoming more dead every day and you're not drawing nigh to Jesus, now is the time to turn your life back to Him. Now is the time for you to go and reach out to that vine and grab a hold of it. Because the Bible tells us, no matter what we go through in our life, no matter the storms that we face, no matter the decisions that we make, when we accept Jesus Christ in our lives, He is there forever in our hearts. And nothing can take that away. The decisions that you've made in your past, the decisions that you're making right now in your life, there's nothing too big for God. And it's time that you allow Him to do what's necessary in your life, because He wants to prune you. And it's important that you get pruned. It's important that you allow Him to make your life and to mold your life into what He needs it to be. For if you don't, you know, over time, a tree that's not pruned and just continuously grows out, it becomes top heavy, and what eventually happens is, no, a Bradford pear will just eventually split in two. Our lives will do the same thing. If we don't allow God to come in and do what He needs to do in our lives, we'll split in two. Jesus mentions two different types of pruning here in these verses that we just read here in John chapter 15. The first type of pruning that he mentioned was cut off, meaning completely separated from the vine. And when you're completely separated from the vine, you're completely worthless. You're not able to produce any fruit. And that's what God wants our lives to do. He wants our lives to produce fruit. He wants our lives to be a resemblance of Jesus Christ. And He wants our lives, He wants people to be able to look at our lives and see the love of God. And in turn, come to know that love and develop a relationship with that person. You see that happening in the Philippines. You see individuals that are showing the love of God in their lives, in their actions. You see people responding. Don't you think that's a problem in the church today? The church is allowing the world to come into the doors. If you ask me, in reading Scripture and looking out at the world today, I see people being cut off. I see people being cut off because they're more interested in doing things their own way, and they're more interested in doing things in the way of the world than they are in allowing Jesus Christ to do what's necessary. The second type of pruning that Jesus mentions here in these verses is cutting back branches to allow for more growth and fruit. And that's the type of pruning that God provides to us. You know, God is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. You know, God does the pruning. And you know, what is the process of the pruning? Well, the pruning comes through the storms that we face in our lives. The pruning comes through the decisions that we make. The pruning, you know, I look at some of the storms that I faced in my life, and I think to myself, why didn't I just turn that over to God? Why didn't I just try to fix that myself? Because, you know, when I tried to fix things myself, it failed. And, you know, ultimately, when I've made those decisions in life that have led to failure, I've continuously heard God's voice. Leave it to me. Turn to me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. One of my favorite hymns. This morning, that's what I'm asking you. Are your eyes upon Jesus? What storms are you going through in your life this morning? Are your eyes on Jesus or your eyes on fear? Are your eyes on how you're going to resolve the situation? Well, if your eyes are looking towards the world instead of looking towards Jesus, it's time this morning that you start looking towards Jesus. Because Jesus is the answer. Jesus can do great things in your life. Jesus can calm the storms. Jesus can conquer the storms. Jesus has already defeated death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus provides a hope. So the first point that I shared this morning was true believers must rely on Jesus Christ to produce much fruit for God's kingdom. Number two, we must remain in Christ. You read that here in this scripture that we just read, verses 1 through 15. We must remain in Christ. And you know, what does it mean? How do you remain in Christ? Well, number one, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's part of your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's one of the foundations of coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15... all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. In verse 16 it says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. So, you know, number one, you've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Number two, how do we remain in Christ? We must receive and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you cannot remain in Christ. You have to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ Himself. And that relationship, I want to point out, can only be obtained through you yourself believing and knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. By believing that the Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ died upon that cross. But not only did He die upon that cross, but that He was resurrected from the dead. If you don't believe that this morning, you need to talk to Jesus, and you need to get on your knees, and you need to look and strive and determine why you don't have that relationship. For that relationship is our hope. It is the only way to have the gift of salvation that God gave us through the death and the resurrection of His Son. There is no other way to come to know salvation other than through Jesus Christ. There's so many religions nowadays that preach the complete opposite. They still preach that you have to go to certain people to even talk with God. And my Bible tells me to pray. It tells me to talk to Him. It doesn't tell me to go to David and to share my concerns with David so that he can take them to Jesus. I have that one-on-one relationship with Jesus where I'm struggling in my life. I'm taking it to God. So you must receive and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Third way of how we remain in Christ, we must seek God's direction and obey His guidance and His commands. It says in 1 John chapter 3, it says in verse 24, those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him, and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. I think this right here is where so many people struggle in remaining in Christ. Is seeking His guidance, seeking His ways, seeking His direction. You know, if you look at the disciples in the New Testament, that's something that they struggled with. Just like what we struggle with. They didn't want to seek the direction of God, and they didn't want to obey His commandments. They didn't want to obey His direction. You know, you look back in the Old Testament, you see the same thing with the children of Israel. Here God had done so many miracles that they had witnessed. You know, I wouldn't have wanted to have been a part of the slavery. But I really wish I could have sat there and looked at the Red Sea as it was opened up. You know, I really wish I could have been there to enter the land of Canaan. You know, I really wish... a lot of things in my life, but God has me right where He needs me to be. And ultimately, we've got to seek God's direction. We've got to be willing to obey His commands, His commandments. When He calls you to do something, God doesn't want you to turn His back on Him. He expects you to respond to His call. He doesn't expect you to do things for Him. He expects you to allow Him to use your life to where He can do great things through you. You know, I've shared with all of you before, or for the majority of you, I've shared with you, never in a million years in my life would I have imagined that I was going to be preaching. Because when I was a little boy, up until when I got married, somehow or the other, I decided to open my mouth. But I was a shy and timid little boy. You know, then God called me to preach. He called me to be of service to His kingdom. My initial thought when God reached out and said, "I want you to preach," was, "You're crazy. I can't even get up in front of my class." But you see what? I didn't turn my back. I said, "God, I'm going to let you use me, but I can't do this on my own because I can't stand up in front of a class. You're going to have to mold me and make me into what you need me to be." You know, He's still working on me. He's still working on me. And you know, I get so excited when I have the opportunity to preach. I get so nervous. For those of us that have preached before, you know what it's like getting up here. It's not easy. For me, I'm an absolute bottle of nerves. You know, people ask me, what do you do? Well, I'm a bottle of nerves, and the minute I hit that first step, I say, "God, it's yours." I say, "God, it's yours. You do what you need to do through me. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy and listen. You know, I'm fed through what God leads me to say up here. There's a lot of the times God's speaking to me directly when He gives me these messages. But He's speaking to all of us. And that's what I'm asking you today. Are you obeying God's guidance? Are you obeying His commands? Are you doing what He is asking you to do for Him in your life? Don't think you can't do it, because God will mold you and make you into what He needs you to be to do it. Fourth point on how to remain in Christ is we must believe and we must share the good news of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 reads, "So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life that He promised us." There's one key part of that, and that's we must share the good news of Jesus Christ. Not just here at church, where it really matters is outside the doors of the church, outside in the world, outside in our workplaces, outside at the grocery store, outside at Walmart. You know, I don't know how many times in my life where I've been at Walmart, I've been at the grocery store, and I've seen people struggling. And God's spoken to me and said, "Dennis, share me with this person. Share the good news and share that there is a hope. And share my love." And you know, a lot of those times that's when I feel the most uncomfortable. But a lot of the times, God puts you in that moment because He intends to use you. But not only that, you know, I'm sure there's been a time where God's planted a seed through that. God's planted a seed that He'll harvest. And he just used me to put the initial water on the seed. Our lives, we got to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You see so much tragedy in the world today. You see earthquakes, you see hurricanes, you see tornadoes, you see destruction throughout the world. And that's what the world wants to focus on. That's what the media wants to focus on. But you know what we as Christians should want to focus on? Is how God's going to use that to do some amazing things. God can use a hurricane. He can use a tornado. He can use an earthquake in some amazing ways. Yes, they are destructive, and yes, they do kill people. But it is comforting to know that through it and through us as Christians, if our lives truly do resemble Jesus Christ, and if in our lives God uses us in those circumstances, if somebody is killed from a tornado, a hurricane, or an earthquake, isn't it great to know that somebody might come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through you? Through God working in your life? The world wants us to rely on material possessions. The world wants us to rely on money. It wants us to rely on riches. But all those things are going to fade away. All those things are going to fade away, and ultimately, it's going to come down in your life to whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm not holding on to my bank account. I'm not holding on to my house. I'm not holding on to my cars for hope. I'm relying on Jesus because He has taken care of me for 38 years in my life. And there's no reason why He can't take care of me the rest of my life if I'm willing to allow Him to do it. Fifth point of how we remain in Christ. We must love our brothers and sisters in Christ. For after all, we are the body of Christ. We got to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. As I was reading this, as I was making out my sermon outline, as I prayed about this, I think that right there is what the church struggles with the most. Loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this ultimately is what breaks my heart the most. Is you see so much conflict in churches today. You see so much heartache. You see so much revenge and anger and bitterness. And those are attributes of the devil. Those are not attributes of God. Attributes of God are love and kindness and joy. If the church can't show the love of God, the world surely can't show the love of God. You see what the world is showing. And this ultimately just, it's like a nail going into my heart. Because how in the world can the church effectively communicate the message of Jesus Christ if Christians in and of themselves that make up the church aren't truly reflecting the attributes of Christ? It's up to us. It's up to us to show that love amongst each other. When one of my brothers and sisters is hurting, it's up to me. It's up to me to go to that person to let them know that I'm encouraged, that I need to encourage them and that I'm going to love them and to let them know that God loves them and God's got the situation that they're facing in their lives. We got to love one another. Being in the leadership of the church, we've all looked at the devil in the face. But I've looked at we've had a lot of conflicts that we've had to resolve through Jesus. And I think back And as I was praying over this, and as I've studied this, I thought of all the conflicts that we've looked square in the eye and seen Satan. I look at every single one of them. And it provides me peace that we resolve each of those conflicts through the love of God. Not only were the conflicts resolved, but we went beyond that and we told those individuals, you know, if God's calling you to stay at this church, please keep coming. You need to be where God wants you to be. You gotta be where God wants you to be. I don't know that. I don't know where God wants Linda to be. I don't know where God wants Garrett to be. But I do know that God wants them to be somewhere, to be used, and to show the love of God to others. And this point was so important that the third point that I'm going to mention of how we can become more fruitful for God in our service to God to grow the kingdom is we are to love each other as Christ loved us. Whew. That's powerful. Do you realize that Christ, that God loved us so much that He sacrificed His one and only Son? And Jesus sacrificed Himself for us so that we can have hope, so that we can have salvation, so that we can have a new beginning when we close our eyes in this earthly world. Only God knows how beautiful it's going to look on the other side. But He loved us so much that He sent Jesus to die for us. And I just wanted to briefly share just a few ways of sharing love with each other. Because it's not just, it goes beyond love. There's a few other attributes that I want to share this morning. Number one, we got to be willing to encourage each other. We've got to do that. To be a minister of Christ, you got to help lift people up, not put them down. You got to encourage them. The storm that they're going through in their life is temporary. It's temporary. And it's going to be awesome on the other side of it. You got to encourage each other. That's something that the church doesn't do too well today. Number two, you got to listen to each other's needs. Listening and encouraging are so important. Not only are they important in our relationship with Christ and in our relationship amongst our brothers and sisters in the church, this kind of goes right back into the relationship that Josh has been preaching about for the last couple of months. In a marriage, you got to be willing to listen and you got to encourage your partner. Same thing amongst our brothers and sisters in the church. You got to listen to their needs. You got to lend them the ear. You know, in the counseling appointments that God's called me to, a lot of the times it's not about resolving conflict. It's not about, you know, resolving a certain mental state. It's about just wanting to be heard. It's about just wanting to open up. It's just about somebody listening to their needs. So we got to be willing as God's children to listen to each other's needs. Number three, you got to be willing to give to each other. And I'm not saying monetarily here. I'm saying you've got to be willing to give time. You've got to be willing to give effort. In God's service, no matter what you're doing, you got to give it your all. And amongst the congregation in the church, you got to give it your all. To your co-workers, wherever it might be, you've got to be willing to give your time and your effort. Because only God knows if those individuals have a relationship with God. And if you're not willing to give your time, if you're not willing to give your effort to His kingdom, you might be not denying God the ability to work in somebody's life, to develop a relationship. Number four, we've got to be willing to help each other. I've never been a part of a church that has been more willing to help each other. If you all can only sit on the treasury side of the church and see how many people the church has helped financially. If you all can be on the counseling side and see how many counseling appointments Brother Josh and various people in the congregation, the pastoral staff. It's not about doing what we want to do. It's about helping each other. It's about helping people grow spiritually. It's about helping each other know. That God loves us. And finally, we have to be willing to support each other. Support each other. And that, again, that goes way beyond finances. Supporting each other means I have your back. It means, you know, when you're down in the trenches. You know, when I'm down in the trenches, when I'm fighting battles, I know I have a church behind me, supporting me, and then trying to pull me out of there. That's what the church is. The church is there to support its people. Just like God supported us by giving us hope through Jesus Christ. So that's what I'm asking you this morning. I'm asking you, where do you stand in your relationship with Christ? I'm going to ask Brother Brian to come up here and to lead us in song of invitation. Brother David, I'm going to ask you to come up as well. Folks, we have to be what God calls us to be. We have to allow God to work within us the way that He wants to work within us. In order to do what God wants us to do, we have to allow Him to mold us and to make us and to prune us into what He needs us to be. And there's going to be storms that there's going to be storms that we face in our lives, but those storms just make us stronger. Those storms just, every time I go through a storm in my life, what consistently comes to my mind is God's making me stronger because He wants me to rely on Him. He wants me to rely that much more on Him. Because, I'm here to tell you this morning, Brother Dennis here, he's human. And he is not powerful at all. Yesterday, I was standing in the living room of my home, being stupid with my children, as I do a lot of the times. My youngest daughter, we had been to McDonald's the night before on our way home from the beach. And she had got this little Power Ranger mask. And I put it on my face. I thought, I just want to feel powerful. So my wife took a picture of me. No, I'm not going to show that. If she shows it, we're going to have words. But I'm talking about God's power, folks. God's power is overreaching. And He can mold you and He can make you into whatever He needs you to be. You simply have to be willing to allow Him to do it. This morning, that's what I'm asking you. Are you allowing God to use you to be as fruitful as He needs you to be? Or are you one of those dead branches? The good thing about it is if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're one of those dead branches, He can cut you off and grow a new one. And prune you into what you need to be. Brother David.